Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now it's time for the Friday gathering. Today we're joined by Micheál Carrigy, who's Fine Gael TD for Longford West Meath, Ciarán Ahern, Labour Party TD for Dublin South West, Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Mirror, and Brenda Power, journalist and commentator. We'll start with the expansion of the rent pressure zones to the entire country. We also have minimum duration tenancies coming. All of this announced by the government this week, and the legislation now is set to be brought forward within weeks. Louise, fair to say our heads are still spinning a little bit following the announcement. There was a lot to get your head around. The government saying that it has acted decisively, the opposition claiming that rents are going to be higher because of this. What's your take on the whole thing and how it was done?
It's all been a bit muddled, I think it's fair to say. There was briefings in the papers last weekend and a lot of them differed in some way, shape or form. There was a press conference on Tuesday with Minister Brown and it was out in the courtyard at government buildings, which is fine. We do a lot of press conferences there. But because it was so complex, there was actually a technical briefing took place in the afternoon that some journalists were invited to, other journalists didn't get an invite to the very last moment. But there was all kind of graphics and stuff at that technical briefing. And we were saying afterwards, like, God, if he had done it in the government press centre, James Brown, where there's screens with graphics and all these kind of things, things may have been a lot simpler. I think the fact that so much of it got out over the weekend was unhelpful. Now, what the government are saying is, listen, you know, these plans have been in place for 2 weeks or a couple of weeks. You know, nothing has changed. This went to cabinet. It had been signed off by the leaders previously. They are denying any kind of suggestion that this has been muddled. But I think the fact that a press release had to be changed that was issued on Tuesday had to be changed because of confusion says everything you need to know about this. And I think there's a lot of pressure now on James Brown and on the government to make sure that this is implemented smoothly because it hasn't been a masterclass in communication
and
so far.
And also the rush then to expand the rent pressure zones, which now is happening before the summer recess.
Yeah, well,
that wasn't the original plan, was it?
Well, my understanding of it is that it actually was the original plan and it was part of a plan that went to cabinet on Tuesday and indeed part of a plan that had kind of been agreed by the leaders. My understanding of it is that it was hoped that this might be a part of the plan that could be just announced so that you weren't, I guess, tipping off landlords that it is coming, that the RPZs are going to be expanded nationwide on X date, that it could be a case that they could just turn around and say the whole country is under a rent pressure zone. So my understanding of it is that despite people, and I know the opposition saying that there was some scrambling going on this, my understanding is that this was always the plan, but they've just now had to say that it was coming in because of the pressure that they're from the opposition and from the public. But it's still very, very muddled, right? I think it's fair to say.
You think it was muddled. Ciarán, the government says it was all part of the grand plan. There's no scrambling. If you think there was scrambling, you're just not as clever as the government because they had it all worked out in advance.
It certainly doesn't feel that way. I mean, from a party in opposition who aspire to government, this fiasco has been an abject lesson in what not to do when launching a policy. I mean, if they were going to make a movie about it, it'd be called How to Lose Investors and Alienate Renters. You know, I mean, this should be a source of great embarrassment to the government. You know, this undermines public confidence in them. It undermines all important confidence of investors coming into the country when it's really hard to tell what this policy is, when it's coming in, who it's going to affect. We have so many open questions after a whole week of talking about it that it really is a bit of a fiasco.
Okay, well, listen, our reporter Brian O'Connell went out to chat to renters, including somebody who's in a fairly substandard property, given what they told Brian, and he asked for their reaction to the plans to expand the rent pressure zones to the entire country. So let's have a listen to this.
It's pretty cutthroat. Like, you kind of have to be really, really early on the market to actually get a good house and a good spot to live. Last year I was living in what I would call equivalent to a shack. Like, it was really awful and we were paying like $400 a month for something that was like, it was cheap, yeah, but there was a leak in the ceiling, there were mushrooms growing out of our wall, there was a hole rotted through the bathroom floor. Yeah, it was just a ridiculous place. And so I contacted my old landlord. I said, hey, is anything available? Because I'm not moving back to this shack. And he was like, yeah, I got something for you. And I got really lucky. And
what are you paying at the moment?
Right now I'm paying $460 for summer accommodation. Yeah, so prices drop dramatically over the summer, but during the year, like, it's difficult to find something under 700. It makes it really difficult to move places. And first year I heard stories of people living out of their cars and people like commuting from hours and hours away.
Roughly, what would you be looking to spend in Cork at the moment on rent? Like, what are the prices like?
Well, I know most people are paying around 550 or upwards. Unless you're living on your own, it's more or less a grand above, you know. One of my friends has moved into a two-bedroom flat and it's a grand between them each. You know, I know a lot of people that live without hot water just to turn off the boiler because to keep the boiler on is too expensive, you know.
And so, I suppose the bottom line in Ireland is, and in places like Cork and Dublin, we don't have enough houses to rent.
No. A lot of people my age, I know friends of my own, that there are a lot of landlords are, you know, selling their houses because the housing market is for the prime point at the moment to be selling those houses.
So there's equity back in the properties, yeah.
And, you know, people are giving them 2-3 months, you know, find a new place, but there's not enough houses to go to.
Well, Micheál Carrigy, I'll come to you on this now. I mean, this can't come soon enough for some people. But I mean, is your party, Fine Gael, confident that James Brown has made a change now that will work and will work soon?
Well, the clear aim of this goal is to increase the supply of new homes by attracting investment to develop new apartment construction and to protect existing renters. And I have to agree with Louise in the comments she made there. There was absolutely no scramble in relation to this at all. My understanding that there was an agreement at Cabinet of two bills to be introduced, which are now going to be introduced before the summer. So just, I think that needs to be cleared off. That position are jumping on a claim, and as I said, that the government was scrambling. But that is not the case.
Can you do the two things, though? Can you protect renters, keep rents down, and attract investment?
Yes, we can. We believe we tasked the housing agency to come up with a matrix. By reviewing the RPZs, there was four different options put in them. They reviewed all the different four options to see what was the best option to both protect renters and increase investment. And this is the model that they have come up with.
Mm.
Housing Agency is actually coming into the Joint Directors Committee on Housing, of which I chair. I've asked them to come in. They are going to be there to answer the questions for members of all parties on why they put these proposals forward.
Though,
and they'll be able to explain.
Wouldn't your head be melted trying to figure it out? It's really complicated. And once something is complicated, it's really hard to police, and there's a risk that people will be exploited off the back of it.
Well, we as a government don't want anyone exploited, and we'll put whatever measures we can put in place to make sure that doesn't happen.
But it is. But you do concede it's complicated.
Choose this opportunity. I'm a member of a government party. I'm not a cabinet. I'm not the Minister for Housing. But I have a responsibility to hold the government, hold the department, and hold the minister account. I've asked in the housing agency that made these recommendations to come into members of all parties, including members of the Labour Party and others, to come in, and we can ask the pertinent questions on why these proposals were put forward. These were accepted as the best proposals to protect renters and increase investment.
And you're saying
that's what we want.
You're saying you think that they're going to work.
I believe, I understand, that is the reason why these proposals were put forward. The opportunity is going to be there on Tuesday to ask the housing agency representatives why they picked this model and what the reason isn't there.
Mm.
This is only one measure in a suite of measures which need to be introduced to address the housing situation. And I, as chairperson, in my very first public meeting, I call it an emergency. I call it as it is. And that's what it is. We need to use every arm of the state to address this situation.
Sounds to me like you remain to be convinced.
I'm convinced the housing agency was tasked.
Yeah, but you're still saying that you're going to ask questions about it.
But it's an opportunity for opposition that are objecting to the proposals being put forward. Well, they will now have an opportunity to ask the people that made the recommendation to clarify any queries they have. And I put to some of the opposition, they don't want the RPZs expended, they don't want this scheme put in place, but what are they going to do to supply homes to the people?
Kieran, what do you want to say?
Well, can I just come in and just say, we are provisionally open to the extension of the RPZs to the whole country. In fact, we called for this 10 years ago. We were told that was unconstitutional at the time. So something has changed there. But what our support is going to be conditional on what's actually in the bill. And we don't know that yet. It's just so unclear. We don't know what modelling the government have done in relation to these measures will increase supply. We want to see their homework on that. We want to see what evidence is there these measures will increase supply. We will support measures to increase supply. Everyone knows we need a bigger supply of apartments and because they've fallen off a cliff in the last year or so. So we are open to supporting the government on aspects of this, but it's all about the devil is in the detail here. There's no point in calling something an RPZ if you've gutted the substance of it.
Mm-hmm. Brenda, what do you think of it all?
I was just looking at Lorcan Sir's piece yesterday, I think, in the Irish Times, and he said there really is no reason to believe that actually rent pressure zones are doing a whole lot to encourage institutional investors in the first place. So you're trying to square the circle of making rents affordable and so therefore exerting downward pressures on rent.
Well, it wasn't the RPZs that were keeping the investors out. Wasn't that the argument?
It. Exactly. That this is not that removing rent pressure zones would
will
have any
attract
will
them
attract,
in.
Will exactly will attract them in. That it is doing anything to keep them out. Sorry, said that backwards. I suppose as the parent of young adults whom I'm kind of hoping might be able to move out in the next few years, hearing the minister say it will be 3 to 4 years before any impact of this downward pressure on rent is felt, that's 2030. I kind of hope they would have had a handle on the housing supply by then, because rental, Claire, is only a short-term solution. We are not a natural-born nation of renters. Mm-hmm. I think something like 87% of those in government's own figures between 25 and 49 said they want to own their own homes. So, I mean, we're offering a sort of long-term solution to what should be a short-term problem. Wait 4 or 5 more years and you might be able to afford to rent, even though you don't want to rent. You were kind of hoping that within that time you might be able to buy. And I mean, again, in that piece, he was quoting the figures of the amounts of money that there is on deposit, earning buttons in deposit interest in this country by Irish investors. And I think it's something like 143 billion.
Yeah.
The suggestion being set up a housing fund, set up a savings fund here, giving good returns to Irish investors and get them to invest in their children's mm-hmm. homes.
Well, listen, I have another clip for you to hear now, because Brian O'Connell spoke to Mark Rose, and Mark is from Rose Properties. They're a long-established business managing rental arrangements in over 750 properties. So he knows the business fairly well. He's concerned about the capacity of the RTB, the Residential Tenancies Board, the capacity that they will have to handle any extra workload on the back of this. He believes the government needs to think bigger in terms of interventions to increase the rental stock. Let's hear Mark Rose.
I don't know if much will change.
One of the big changes, Mark, is for new builds that the rent will be able to be set at the market rate.
Yeah, the interesting thing on that is that if you have a property right now and for the last 8 years, if it hasn't been rented before, there's no restriction. So I don't see that there's a massive effect on that.
Okay, so you're not exactly wholeheartedly welcoming these measures as something that will fundamentally change the rental market.
I think if we want investors to get excited about something and to start piling into the market, that's essentially what we want. People want the misery to lessen on tenants. Do I see the little tinkering around the edges here unleashing a whole massive amount of new supply? I don't really see that happening.
Okay, so let's imagine the housing minister had rang you up a couple of weeks ago and said, Mark, we have to do something. What advice are you giving?
Probably if you ask some of my clients, what would make a difference to them right now is if they have a difficulty with a tenant, let's say €30,000 of rent arrears, that they have a fair chance of getting enforcement on that.
We know now that the Residential Tenancies Board will have more work to do after this legislation. Is that a concern?
Well, will they be getting more staff?
How do we ensure that rents are brought back under control? Or would you argue that rents are where they're at?
The story of King Canute standing down at the water and asking the tides to go back, that's what we're doing. Trying to get rents to go down with the stroke of a pen or ink on paper, it doesn't exist, Brian. It's not going to happen. If you look back at the Daft reports, 13, 14 years ago, there was 25,000 rental properties available to rent on this island. Now we have around 2,000, just over 2,000.
It must be difficult for you because you must be inundated with people looking to rent properties.
It doesn't feel good, Brian. It's horrible. It's terrible. So like what people are feeling out there, we can see it very clearly. It's not good. So anybody who's tinkering around the edges, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, like, it needs big moves, big sweeping moves.
It's not big enough, according to Mark Rose. And Micheál, you know, accusing the government of tinkering around the edges and expecting something big to happen, even down to the basics of the Residential Tenancies Board. I mean, have you heard anything in all of this that they will have more resources to deal with the additional rules now that they'll have to police?
Well, I agree. I'll be honest, at the minute, I don't think the RTB has been fit to purpose, and that's the experience I'm hearing for people that make contact with it. We need to definitely increase the personnel that's there to actually deal with, both for tenants and for landlords, and for some time landlords seem to be forgotten when it comes to the RTB. But this is only one measure in a number of measures that's going to be brought forward from government. And I just want to refer back again, and I know I'm repeating myself, is that the housing agency were tasked with the job of making the recommendations, investigating what's the best proposals. There was four different proposals on the table with regard to the RPZs. And based on their work, on their matrix and working out what's the best for this country, they have recommended this by engaging with organisations, representative organisations, and dealing with, you know, the finances around us. So, as I say, we have to accept that they're putting forward the best proposals in the interest of people to, as I say, ultimately protect renters and increase supply.
And what about this problem now that Michelle Norris, from, she was a member of the Housing Commission, and she's identified this, among others, who say there's incentive now for landlords to leave properties empty until March when they can have charge a higher rent. How is that going to be dealt with?
Well, I don't think that's going to be acceptable, and I know that, as I say,
I don't know if there's anything you can do about it at the moment. You can just leave your property vacant. There's no penalty. You can do that if you want, if you decide to.
Yeah, it as I say, these are concerns that need to be looked at. These are the questions we need to ask and choose and have the agency that made these proposals. And actually, when the press conference was going on last Tuesday, Michelle Norris was actually in with us in the Housing Committee as a member of the Housing Commission speaking on this whole area.
But we've just identified a problem there. No one has a solution for that. So you can see how, you know, the opposition can level the accusation that this wasn't thought through properly and actually gain traction with that accusation, because it's true in this case, isn't it?
I don't believe it's going to be as big an issue as opposition are making out. And I think the opposition...
Do you think, Ciarán, it's a problem? Do you think people will leave their places empty until March?
It's exactly for reasons like this that we just felt that this is amateur hour this week. I mean, in 2016, when the original RPZ legislation was brought through, it was rushed through the Dáil that evening, so there wouldn't be adverse consequences. So, you know, or unwanted consequences.
But that was part of the plan, we were told.
Well,
they planned that.
Well, they planned it back in 2016. But I mean, what's happening now? I mean, they seem to have got worse at planning in the 10 years that they've all been in government together.
Yeah, it's these unintended consequences, isn't it? And you kind of wonder, you know, the officials, the ministers, the staff, when they're sitting down and they're thinking these things through. Like, it was one of the first things that many people would have thought of on Tuesday. Well, why are you doing this till March? Why are you giving them 9 months of a lead-in time? And I mean, you know, it just doesn't seem thought through. It's been an exhausting week, because I mean, even coming back from that press conference on Tuesday, the journalists were a few of us just gathered in the hallway outside the canteen in Leinster House, and we were going, what's going on? Like, what happens if in this situation? What happens in, you know, that situation? And we were just so confused. And like, we had been at the press conference with the minister, and we had had the press release right in front of us, and it's just been so muddled. It really, really has. And it's so hard to communicate to people what it means for them. And at the end of the day, there are more than likely a lot of worried renters out there who are wondering, what does this mean for us? If I was a renter at the moment, I'd be tearing my hair out, because I would be so confused. I'd be really, really confused.
And I mean, the people who are going to suffer too, apart from, you know, the unintended consequences and the unexplained potential for this particular scheme, will be students who will need to move for short-term lettings, and they could potentially incur increased rents because they won't be able to avail of a six-year tenancy.
The other one that was saying it was the hospital staff who go on like a six-month rotation or whatever, and the junior doctors, you know, the way they go to one place for 6 months and they move on to another hospital. That was another group that came out during the week and were like, are they going to be negatively impacted if the market rents can be reset every time a tenant leaves voluntarily, if the landlord can put the rents back up to market rents? You know, is there going to be something in place to stop that? So, like, maybe because we do have a 9 month lead in period, these are issues that can be ironed out. But it just seems there's a lot of holes that the government appear not to have thought of.
And it also seems that the provisions allowing the smaller landlords to evict tenants are pretty woolly as well, and could be subject to abuse,
financial distress, moving a family member in, and so on. But the whole strategy, Brent, I'm just thinking of your crew now at home. The strategy of wanting to encourage institutional investors to buy build to rent apartments, Why are we doing that if they want to buy their own home?
Well, this is what I'm saying, that I think rental, we are just not a nation of renters. We don't have the same culture as some continental mm-hmm. countries where people are quite happy to settle into a lifelong rental.
It's controlled rent and you have security of tenure over decades.
We don't have that and there's no provision for that. I mean, I think the suggestion that this is just tweaking around the edges is probably the most accurate. This is a short-term solution to what is apparently now proposed as a long-term solution to the fact that people want to own their own homes. They're being told this is not going to be realistic in the next 5 mm-hmm. to 10 years. And that's really worrying.
To interrupt you, but the issues with those buy-to-rent apartments as well is that they are so expensive. Yeah. Like, rent is expensive in general, but...
They're the luxury ones, aren't they?
They're really nice. They have all your bits. They have the gym. Some of them have a creche. You're paying for what you get, I suppose. But the issue is that people can't afford them. And anytime I see an apartment block going up, I'm looking at it and I'm going, oh, is there any to buy in there? And it is all to rent. And it's all to rent at ridiculous prices that I could not afford, my friends could not afford. And you're just wondering, who are they for?
Mm-hmm. Pat Dabbitt from the Property Auctioneers and Valuers Association, he has said there's a reason or there's a call to bring back Section 23, Micheál. I don't know if you have looked at this. I mean, this was tax breaks that were given to developers on the rent that they would take in after they had developed those properties, mainly in urban areas. Now, it got a very bad rap because I think it was, it's fair to say it was abused in the lead up to the financial crash. But what Pat is saying, some form of it with controls and something like that really would encourage investment pretty quickly.
With controls, I'd be open to looking at it, but I come from County Longford, as you well know, and we were probably one of the counties worst blighted with Section 23. I was a member of the local authority at the time, and we had 124 unfinished estates left in our county, and to this day, we still see the effects of it on our county. Do we need investment in house building in our county? Yes, we do. We have not had a private development built in County Longford since 2008. Because of the market the way it is. Mm-hmm. So that's locking
out. And what did they say to you, the potential developers who might be looking at Longford, just that they wouldn't be making the money back on it?
The cost. It's the cost of developing and the market value that they would get for a house there at the minute. It isn't there. The second-hand market that is there, it is cheaper to buy a house on the second-hand market, far cheaper than to buy a new development. So we only in just actually prior to the election, we had an announcement of our first affordable housing scheme that we've been looking for in a long number of years. And it's hopeful that the show home will be ready for viewing in August for mm-hmm. people to apply to be able to purchase an affordable home. But prices for that affordable home are still going to be above the actual market price of a second-hand home in the county.
But a completely private development for people who don't fall into eligibility for any scheme, it won't happen in your area, you're saying, because the developers are telling you, we can't make money off it.
We can't make money, and at this minute in time, that is what we need. We have young couples and families looking to get on the ladder, and they can't actually get onto the ladder. So I would definitely be open to a scheme that would allow that to happen.
Okay. We have a statement just in from James Brown, who's been speaking in Galway, the Minister for Housing. He's defending his measures in relation to the rental market. He's acknowledging that there were a few different moving parts in the planned legislation, but he said these were necessary given the scale of the accommodation issues that the country is facing. There's always going to be a challenge around the complexity of doing anything like this. There's a no one size fits all. To bring a solution to this kind of complex situation, and he spoke about the balance being struck between protecting tenants and making sure that investors are willing to embark on building projects. He said a massive step change was needed in this regard in terms of protecting existing tenants and increasing the supply, but he believes the measures announced this week would help to make it happen.
Just to clarify, I think Louise said it earlier, that there was two pieces or two bills got leave at Cabinet. The main substantive bill and a bill to cover up until March 26 to cover off any of these issues that are being highlighted mm-hmm. by the opposition. But they were, that bill, what leave to draft that bill was granted at Cabinet ahead of it being introduced on Tuesday.
Kieran, you want to come back in before we move on?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, we would welcome seeing those bills and actually going through them and understanding the detail here, because there are tons of people who are just at their wits' end trying to figure out how this is going to affect them, the renters, students, people like that. And, you know, we will support any measures when it comes to supply, but affordability has to be at the heart of any new bills that come on. And I mean, we don't want to be talking about Fianna Fáil tax breaks for developers again. But what we would like, we've been calling for a long time for the implementation of the Kenny report, which put a cap on the cost of development land. We acknowledge that it costs a lot to develop land and to build at the moment, but there are other levers you can pay rather than just giving tax breaks.
So Section 23 is not for you, you're saying?
It's not about tax breaks for developers. It's an opportunity for couples and young people to own their own home. That's what we need to put in place. And whatever measure or whatever mechanism that can do that, I think we have to put that in place.
But in the meantime, they're being told, and confusing as this is, I think one thing is clear from it, rents are not going to come down in the near future. And we have a situation where the
they're going to go up.
Where the average income is 44,000. Now the average rent has breached 2,000, average rent a month in the last couple of months. How do people live? I have no idea how they're expected to do that.
Listen, we'll move on because I want to talk about phone pouches. So we know the government now has... They're not going to run with that tender that they initially announced for the 9 million euro for the phone pouches, so students could put the phone in a pouch, a locked pouch, while they were in school. And people might remember back in the budget 2025 in October, that in itself, and it was only 9 million, we say, in the context of the overall spending, but it was one of the most controversial moves of that budget. The Education Minister, Helen McEntee, was on Morning Ireland. She said, there's absolutely no U-turn. The 9 million euro has been allocated to schools to put in measures to become phone free. But the schools can go off and decide now how they spend that on phone related issues. They can't spend the money on anything else. I mean, there's an opportunity there to use that money maybe for something else. We know that there are very many schools that are under pressure, aren't they? Their budgets are under pressure because their cleaning costs have gone up, their energy costs have gone up, and yet they have this money available to them, Micheál, but they have to spend it on phone pouches.
And I fully believe it should be ring-fenced for spending, for mechanisms to address the whole issue of the usage of phone, the whole area of social media. I'm a parent myself of young children. I see the effect that it has. I was a member of the media committee in the previous Dáil term and currently in the new term, and I've met the social media companies, we've met the advocacy organisations. This is one of the biggest serious issues that we're facing as a country, is protecting our youth from the misinformation, particularly that's on social media.
And so you must be disappointed then that the tender has been cancelled now.
I want whatever mechanism works in schools to be put in place, and I don't want that money spent on anything else, only mechanisms to protect our children.
Mm-hmm. Was it a rollback, Louise?
Not really, to be honest, because I do remember being at the press conferences when it was Norma Foley at the time, just after the budget, and it was kind of said, you know, you can use it on phone pouches or another mechanism, be that a locker, be it, you know, a shelf, be it whatever.
But so the tender was issued. There were 12 interested parties. And now the contract isn't going to be awarded to anybody.
So I remember, and again, going back to October, they were saying that the cost of them, whatever it was, up to 25 euro, I think the idea was that if you bought them in bulk, they'd be much cheaper for the schools. So unless it was to have, you know, that option there for the schools to go buy it from whoever was issuing the tender to get it a little bit cheaper rather than having to just go to whatever random company they wanted to go to. But in fairness, if not really U-turn, because it was said at the time it didn't have to be pouches, it could be whatever the school deemed fit. But the tender was issued, that is true. So again, a little bit muddled, but...
Yeah, Micheál, you want to come back in?
Just to come back in, and I've actually, in my role, I've been visiting schools and talking about this and meeting TY classes, etc. And I had one particularly good engagement in my community school in North Longford, particularly about the use of phone pouches around the time of the budgets. The reality is, say, during COVID, actually phones were actually used by some of the classes, the teachers, with regard to doing some project work, etc. I've heard my own young lad who's along with me today talking about Kahoots and Blockit and these things that are done in schools. So I do think there maybe should be another fund put in place to allow schools purchase IT equipment that they can use in schools, whether it's tablets or other types of equipment like that can be used.
Well, I have a listener saying that her daughter and many others are handing over the old phone and keeping the phone that they actually use in their bag.
Genius.
Which is another way around it.
Genius.
Of course, a lot of the objection to this is coming from parents who are saying, I need to be able to contact my child at 24 hours a day. I mean,
You don't.
And I think Norma Foley said, ring the school.
In my engagement in my role covering media, that when a ping comes in on a phone or a message, if a child has that phone in their pocket, for 20 minutes following that ping, they're not concentrating on what's happening in the classroom because they're wondering what's actually what message has come in or where it's come from in Snapchat or whatever. So this is going to have a negative effect on our children's education.
Yeah, Kieran, you want to come in just for the time? Yeah.
And just to say, schools are already dealing with this, and we think that the money could be spent better elsewhere. You know, capitation grants haven't been increased in years. We've had schools calling for emergency utility grants because they can't pay their energy bills, their water bills. They just want to keep the lights on. I've had schools from Kilnamana to Green Hills coming to me in relation to that. And just, I found the minister's comments today, or the department's comments today, a little bit ironic, because schools that I know have been advised by the FSSU to take money from other ring-fenced funding to pay for their utility bills, you know, and they're being told that this money for the pouches can't be spent on anything else.
But I know I've spoken to teachers who said actually they think this is a good idea, this is a good initiative, and surely they should be free to use whatever money they have left over once they have implemented a system that works for whatever other needs they
all
have.
All right, we have to leave it there. Thank you all. We'll take a quick break before we finish.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.